All righty, back to Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I can tell you that I looked forward to this passage. We're not on. Oh, flip those two switches. You know those two switches back there? All right, there we are. Yeah, I look forward to these two passages way back, and of course you see the text there, Song of Solomon 2:1, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. So I look forward to that, and after I began to study this passage, I almost felt like I was very hesitant because there were some difficulties in it for me. I've thought on it for some time, and since I began considering it, I've again been very hesitant to preach it. The text is a very popular saying. It's popular among born-again Christians. Christ is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. In fact, we sing a song, He's the lily of the valley. And then another saying in the passage in Revelation, the bright and the morning star. So, if you're like me, you've heard that and you've said it. Christ is the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. But then as I studied it, I began to ask myself the question, is this actually the bridegroom speaking? Is this Christ speaking here? Because he says, I am. It seems to be one of those I am statements. Or is this the bride speaking of herself? Is this the church? Now, I'll say this before we get too far down the road. I'm not saying that the rose of Sharon is not the bridegroom. But this passage has me questioning myself, and I've been asking the Lord, who is the rose of Sharon? Who is speaking here? Because he or she is speaking here. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And listen, when I think of these passages, and when I start having questions, I start thinking, I don't want to just try and break ranks with what is orthodoxy. I'm not trying to do that, but I want to know what the Lord is saying here. I don't want to break ranks, but I don't want to just get in line just because that's the orthodoxy. I want to know what God is saying here. I want to know who is speaking here. Now, it would seem to be akin, this passage, to other biblical sayings in the Word of God that refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are 7 I am statements in the Gospel of John. You know them. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, though it's not there. I am the truth and I am the life. And then finally in John, I am the true vine. And so there's no question that that speaks of Christ. In the book of Revelation, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the root and offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. So all of these statements we know without a shadow of a doubt that it's speaking of Christ. There's no questioning these statements. But here in the Song of Solomon, when we read the statement, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys, I begin to hesitate as I studied this. It's either one of two people. It's either Christ or it's the church. It's either Christ or it's the church. And it began to make me think, because I've said this out in the world, but negligently, I had never really studied it to see who is the Rose of Sharon. Did I ever go to this passage? No, I didn't. But I heard people say it, and I've said it. The Lily of the Valleys. If we say something about Christ, we ought to be able to speak to it. If he's the Rose of Sharon, why do I believe that? But sometimes we take little phrases like single verses from the Word of God and we assume their meaning based on what we perhaps have heard or been taught, but without having personally studied the meaning of the context or of the phrase ourselves. We should know that for ourselves. Why is Christ called the branch? Why is he called the root and offspring of Jesse? Of course, we know that. We should know that. I've never questioned that Christ was the Rose of Sharon, but again, I've never studied the passage, and now I'm not so sure. And that's what I want you to study with me today. You're kind of entering into the conundrum of one of my studies. But let's look at some Old Testament, or consider some Old Testament passages. We won't go there, but just consider in Deuteronomy's 8 times, the rock, or our rock, capital R, it refers, and we know that rock is Christ. How do we know that? 1 Corinthians 10:4 said that rock was Christ. Deuteronomy, I think it's 8 times, maybe 9 times. Now, this is not so much a strong argument, but it's got some strength to it. The word R in all of those passages is capitalized. Means what? It's a proper name. The rock. Our rock. Isaiah 9:6, think about this. All referring to Christ. I want you to put your thinking cap on now. He shall be called, capital W, wonderful. Capital W. Counselor. Christ. He doesn't name him, but we know it's talking about him. Christ. Counselor. Capital C. The Mighty God. Of course, we know that. God is capitalized. Everlasting Father. Mighty God means a warrior God. I like that. Prince. P. Of Peace. Capital P. Both capital P's. All majestic titles of Christ. Jeremiah and Zechariah have multiple references, maybe two apiece, but he's called a righteous branch, capital B, proper name. The branch of righteousness, or the branch in another place, all capital B's, meaning it's a proper name. We read that in the scriptures. So all of those are capitalized. They refer to our Lord. Now, that's not the strongest of arguments, okay? Because there are other places where there aren't caps. But in most of these Old Testament references, they're capitalized. Sharon is capitalized in Rose of Sharon because it's a place. Now, Rose is not capitalized. What is God saying here? Is the Rose of Sharon in this text Christ? Is he the lily of the valleys? Or are you the Rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys? Think about this. If you are the Rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys, the adornment and beauty and the grace that you have came from Christ. And so think about that. So that's the first consideration. The next thing to consider is this. Is if this is the bridegroom speaking in verse 1, if it's indicative of Christ, this is the only passage in the entire Song of Solomon where he describes himself. It's the only passage where he says, like this, I am the rose. In all of the other passages, it's the bride that speaks of herself. She says, I am black but comely. She says, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. See, the only one that speaks of themselves among the two characters here, or the only one that speaks of herself like this, is the bride. I am black, look not upon me. I am sick of love. I am a wall. That's later on in the book. And then the only one that describes the bridegroom is who? The bride. She's the one that describes him with intimate detail. So she speaks of him. There's one place where the bridegroom does speak of himself. Look at chapter 5 and verse 1. But he doesn't describe himself. He speaks of what he is doing. In chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. So that's the only time he actually speaks of himself. Now, next, consider the context points to a continuation of the bride speaking from chapter 1. And listen, let me just tell you at the outset, I'm not being dogmatic either way. I'm really putting this out for you because I'm telling you I can't be dogmatic because I'm sort of telling you I don't know. But I'm kind of giving you a little bit of a hint as to which way I'm kind of leaning. So look at chapter 1 and verse 12. And I'll tell you who's speaking as we read. And it helps if you can deduce who's speaking. So the bride speaks in verse 12. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. She continues to speak. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. So she speaks in the third person of him. He shall lie all night betwixt my breast. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor flowers. Remember that? In the vineyards of Megiddo. Now Christ speaks. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Remember, he calls her my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. She speaks in verse 16. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant also is also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters are of fir. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. I think in the context she's still speaking. In verse 2, I think it's pretty obvious Christ now speaks. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. And he talks about the lily among thorns. Now let's talk about the rose and these flowers. This I don't believe to be a literal red rose that you would see out in the garden out front. It's not a literal red rose as we know it, but the rose of Sharon was a beautiful bulbous flower. In other words, it comes from a bulb that grew on the plain of Sharon. Probably a wildflower, and defined in the Hebrew, it's either a meadow saffron, which was a beautiful yellow flower, or an autumn crocus, which is the type of flower that it was. Sharon, remember, it's on the plain of Sharon. Sharon means level place or plain. Sharon was about a 50-mile stretch along the eastern border of the Mediterranean Sea. It was a large plain and fertile ground with plains and valleys. It was a beautiful and fertile plain, probably full of these wildflowers and lilies. The lily is defined to be a white lily of the field. Again, like a wildflower, both were said to have grown in that region in the plain of Sharon. You can look on your maps. You can see it stretches from Carmel down the eastern shore of the Mediterranean Sea. Now, look at Isaiah 33, and I think this reference helps. It helped me. Sharon is actually mentioned in the book of Acts. You can go there later. It's spelled S-A-R-O-N. But it's mentioned there. It's mentioned in some other places. But look at Isaiah 33:9, and then we'll go to Isaiah 35. 33:9, notice it says here, the earth mourneth, and these are judgments that Isaiah the prophet prophesied against the people of God, the children of Israel, for their sin. The earth mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness. And Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruit. So Sharon is like a wilderness. So and that's in the land of Israel. Now look at 35:1. Isaiah 35:1. Keeping with that thought of Sharon being a wilderness. Here it says, the wilderness and solitary place shall be glad. And so here we have a place that's personified, if you will. You know what I mean by that? Because Can the wilderness be glad? What he's talking about, a time when there would be gladness as opposed to sorrow and affliction. So he says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad, and it says, for them. And we need to read on to see what them is, but them, I believe, is the blessings of the gospel. It says, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as, there it is, the rose. This is the only other place that that Hebrew word is used. The only other place is Song of Solomon 2:1. That word is chabitzaleth, which is the rose. Now notice, it, now what's it? It's the wilderness and the solitary place. It shall blossom abundantly. And so, the world without the gospel, beloved, is a desert, parched place. It's a place of cruelty. It's a place of peril. It's a place of distress. It's a habitation of perishing people. That's what the world is without the gospel. But now when the gospel and the truth and the blessings of God come to that land, come to a people, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. Now think about the Rose of Sharon while we're talking about this. Because you remember that the bride in chapter 1, she said, I'm black but comely. Look not on me because I'm black, because the sun hath looked upon me. And what does he tell her after that? He says she sees herself as full of affliction, full of infirmities, full of sins. He says, no, thou art fair, my love, thou art fair. Remember that? And it seems that this, in context in the Song of Solomon, now she sees herself as the Rose of Sharon. I'm presenting that to you. But notice verse 2. He says, it, that is the wilderness and the solitary place, the desert, notice in verse 1, shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly. And what that means is blossoming, it shall blossom. It's kind of like the phrase in Genesis chapter 3 or chapter 2 when the Lord says, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What that means in the Hebrew is, the way you say it in the Hebrew is like this. In dying, thou shalt die. That's how you say it. Here, in blossoming, you shall blossom. So that's what's happening here. It shall blossom abundantly. That is the solitary place. It shall rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Now look on at the beauty of this chapter. It's only 10 verses. He says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Now listen, the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. He's talking about the gospel, brethren. And then shall the lame man leap as the hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall the waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. And you see that capital T-H-E? That's a definite article. He's talking about the gospel there. The way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those wayfaring men. No fool shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. Joy and gladness, rather, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So this is a gladdened land that was once parched and dry. So the wilderness and desert of this world shall blossom under the gospel. It means, what that means, blossoming, it means it will bud, it will sprout, it will send out shoots, it will flourish, and the desert and wilderness shall rejoice when it shall blossom abundantly. This is the only other place, again, and I mentioned this, that the word rose is used, and of course that word is chebitzeleth. Is this rose rejoicing and blossoming abundantly under the blessings of the gospel? Is this rose in the fertile ground of Carmel? Is this rose upon the plains of Sharon, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? I ask you. And then the lily of the valleys on Sharon, on that plain, that large plain, that large swath of land in the world. Then there is Song of Solomon 2:2. And I think this is Christ speaking. I think it's pretty clear that it's the bridegroom speaking. He says, as the lily among thorns, so is my love, the bride among the daughters. So the church of Jesus Christ in the world is as a lily among thorns. She is persecuted. She is distressed. She suffers. She is always delivered unto death for the sake of the kingdom. She is a lily among thorns. But back to the rose of Sharon, and I leave you with this tonight. Is this Christ? Or is that rose, the church, adorned with the beauty and grace of Christ? This beautiful rose that grows on the plains and valleys and in the wilderness and desert places of this world that blossoms abundantly. Is it the church, or is it Christ? Now let me close right here and tell you that if you say Christ is the rose of Sharon, you won't get any frowns from me. If you say Christ is the church, you won't get any frowns from me. Because at this point, I can honestly tell you, I don't really know. And so, but I wanted to set these things that the scriptures teach. I think there's a lot of really good things to glean from this passage. And so I pray that the Lord will help you with that as you consider this. The other thing, and finally, if you have a marginal rendering, the definite article is not there, so it could actually be read in the Hebrew, I am a rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. So that's for you to chew on and to seek the Lord for. And again, I would be glad to listen to anything that you have to say, any thoughts that you have. But I would also encourage this. When you use a phrase, when you say something from the Word of God, make sure that what you say, you can back it up. And when somebody asks you, is Christ the rose of Sharon? Then tell me why. Why do you call him that? If he's the branch, if he's the door, why is he the door? Why do you say that? We need to be, or better than that, you'll probably not be asked, but you ought to be able to say why. Christ is the door because we need to go through him. He's the only door. The definite article, he's the door. He's not a door. Jesus is not a God. He is God. So we need to be able to say those things. And so, anyway, we'll leave it at that. And I pray that you were helped somewhat tonight. And as always, listen, I want to be able to expose what God is saying, not just what is the typical orthodoxy. I want to know what is the Lord saying here. And I can honestly tell you, I don't have all the light on this. And so we'll trust it to the Lord. So let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we ask that you'd please help us, Lord. I thank you for this passage. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for the beauty of Christ. Father, I don't know, Father, what this passage means, but I know that Christ is beautiful. He's altogether lovely. But I also know that he's adorned your church, Father, and she is a beautiful bride. And so, Father, please help us. I pray that you'd bless your people, oh God, with sanctified thoughts, Father. Father, with thoughts directed toward thee. And we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.